Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies and home of the five-star technician. They're online at cropmetcalf.com. Later in the show, Mike Vick's going to join us. Don't want to miss that at 9:20. But join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, as he does every Friday at this time. It's best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. He's brought to you by Golfdom. Located in Tysons, Virginia, or golfdomgolf.com. Visit today, experience the best in golf, on and off the course, golf, and live the game. And before we get to the golf, I know that John wrote about the tiebreaker at Wimbledon. Were you a fan of it, or were you against the tiebreaker there in the Federer-Djokovic match in the fifth set?
You know, I understand why they did it after last year, because there were just a bunch of matches during the tournament that just wouldn't end. There was one at least that I think went 26-24. And when you have that happen, it messes with the schedule. You know, usually those matches like that may go over to another day, makes it hard for the guy who wins to recover. There's good reason to do it. I mean, the U.S. Open has had the fifth set and third set tiebreaker at 6-all since the 1970s. So for Wimbledon to say, okay, at 12-all, which is pretty radical, we will go to a tiebreak. And it's ironic that the only match in the tournament where they had to go to the tiebreak was the one where the winner wasn't going to have to play the next day and you weren't messing up the schedule. But I understand the thinking that at some point, especially since it's so hard to break on grass, you just say, okay, play it out in the tiebreak, fellas. Now, there were breaks in the fifth set, and Federer did have two match points on his serve. So I think you can say that everybody had a fair chance to win before it went to the tiebreak. So I don't have a major problem with it. It's just, it's kind of weird that it, the first time it ever happens is in the championship match in one of the, you know, best tennis matches I've ever seen.
And I feel like if they didn't have that rule, that could have gone to the 20s.
They might still be playing.
They might still be playing.
Yeah, but that would have been great.
And I hate to use the word haunt, but man, you're up 40-15 with double match point, up 8-7. And you hit that bad forehand wide, then that other forehand is just not deep enough, and Djokovic passes him. I don't know if I'm going to say it's going to haunt Fed.
It is.
But, man, that's a big one. That's
you know what it
loss.
Reminded me of? Because you're right, Jason. I mean, you could tell he was devastated.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Even in the post-match interview on court, as gracious as he always is, when Sue Barker said, oh, you've given us a memory we'll take with us forever, he said, well, I'm going to want to forget it.
Yeah.
And he, you know, everybody laughed, but he meant it. And I remember back in 2010, Maryland lost an NCAA tournament game to Michigan State. It turned out to be Gary's last NCAA tournament game. And you might remember they were down 16. They rallied. They took the lead. Vasquez hit a shot. Mm-hmm. And Michigan State comes down, and they're trying to reverse the ball. And the kid who the pass was supposed to go to, I don't remember his name, ducked. And the ball went right to Corey Lucas, who hit a three at the buzzer. And after the game, Gary said, I'm too old. I don't think I'll ever get over this one. And this is when Federer's got 20 majors, right? He can go look at all those trophies, but
right.
I don't think he gets over this one.
What was it about? What's it about that relationship? Because McEnroe was alluding to it a few times. I'm not saying that they hate each other, but they don't love each other.
Yeah, I don't know. Djokovic is a different guy. I mean, I don't know today's tennis players because I don't really cover tennis anymore. I go to the Open a little bit, but that's pretty much it. But Djokovic is a different guy. He's got kind of an offbeat sense of humor. I don't think he hangs out. Of course, star tennis players never hang out with one another, except that Everett Navratilova did 100 years ago. But He's just a different guy, whereas Federer and Nadal are close, you know, as close as you can be as rivals like that. So maybe it's because when you got three, somebody gets left out of the one-on-one equation. But Djokovic is definitely a different guy. I mean, I remember years ago when he was a very young player, he did an on-court interview with McEnroe at the Open, and he did a McEnroe imitation that was fall-down funny. It was so good. Oh, wow. I mean, he's just a different guy, and I think all three of these guys, one thing they share is they're all bright. Great athletes aren't always smart. They're great athletes. But these three guys are all bright. None of them college-educated, obviously, because no tennis players are college-educated these days. But very bright guys. By the way, here's a great trivia question if you want to use it. Who was the last major champion with a college degree in tennis?
Male or female?
What year was
male,
it?
Male. Male. Although I don't know about female. It might be different, but I know
Michael
male.
Michael Pernforce. Did he?
Michael Pernforce never won a major.
What year was it?
How about he graduated from college in 1962?
Oh, really? I don't know.
Arthur Ashe. UCLA. And when McEnroe years ago, I asked him why he played Davis Cup all the time, which he did. He was one of the few guys of that era who always played Davis Cup, the only American. I mean, Connors almost never played. And he said, you know, when I was a kid, I promised my mother two things, one that I'd graduate from college and the other that I'd play Davis Cup. When I dropped out of Stanford after my freshman year, I figured I damn well better play Davis Cup.
Well, all right, let's move on to the Open. Yesterday, first tee, Rory pulls it into the rough, hits a lady, I think broke her cell phone or something.
Yep,
and
broke her screen.
He quad bogeys, and it's just, I mean, he got
awful.
A couple back there. He had a plus three, but then 17, 18 just did him in.
Right.
So, I mean, that's,
well, you know, it's interesting. The three most famous players, Brooks Koepka is the best player in the world right now. We know that, and he's right in there. He's five under and in the clubhouse this morning. But the three most famous players in the world are Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, and Phil Mickelson. And the highest finisher among them yesterday was Mickelson at T129.
Mm-hmm.
Woods was T144, and Rory was T150 and beat five guys yesterday, five guys. And I really think, with Rory, what happened was he wanted this so much. You know, he holds the course record 61, which he shot when he was 16. He hit his 61st shot yesterday on the 15th hole. It's Northern Ireland. I mean, I talked to Rory about this in the last year. He wanted to win this event more than probably any he's ever played in. And clearly it got to him. I mean, to hit an iron off the first tee and hit it out of bounds, that's almost impossible for a pro. Almost impossible. And he was awful. And I think he wanted it too much. And it would be like a huge moral victory for him to make the cut, but he'd have to shoot about 64 today to do that.
And
Woods is talking about the fact that he feels beat up. And he's almost 44. Clearly the Masters took a lot out of him. And Phil went on that crazy diet, you know, tried to lose 15 pounds in 5 days or something, and clearly that didn't help him. So all three of them are out of it, and I like the leaderboard except for J.B. Holmes. I mean, I wish he'd just go away, because if he's in the last group on Sunday, the event will end on Tuesday.
You don't. So he's a slow player, but do you like him?
I don't know him well, but he's not a bad, you know, guy had brain surgery.
Right.
Great, amazing comeback story to do that. He came back and won again after the surgery, and I admire him for his grit. But he's not I don't find him to be an interesting guy at all. He's not a guy who's going to fill your notebook. Okay, he's not a bad guy, but he's pretty boring. But Tommy Fleetwood would be a great winner. Really good guy. I'll tell you, I don't think I told you this story. I did a thing with him in Hartford, a Q&A. It was with him and Patrick Reed. And before I do those things, I always prep and talk to the guys. And did you guys see the little thing on the internet after the Ryder Cup where he wakes up in bed with Francesco Molinari?
I don't know. Was that like a social media
thing?
They won
four matches together.
And
Molinari won his singles match, beat Mickelson for the clinching point. Fleetwood lost his singles match to Tony Finau. but they wake up in bed together.
Mm-hmm.
And Fleetwood looks, you know, they're kind of waking up. Fleetwood looks at Molinari and he goes, was that good for you, Francesco? And Molinari goes, he says, Tommy, it was 4 out of 4. And Fleetwood says back to him, you're a 5 out of 5, Frankie. I mean, it's really funny.
Right.
And so I started the little Q&A. The first thing I said to Fleetwood was, Tommy, could you explain to all of us how you ended up in bed with Francesco Molinari? And he said, which time?
Great
That's
answer.
His guy.
Great answer.
Great answer.
I mean, and it wasn't prepared or anything. He was great. So anyway, he's a really good guy, funny guy, as I said, very good player, due almost to win a major. He'd be a wonderful winner.
You know, I see it's interesting on the leaderboard. I mean, obviously Spieth doing something today is interesting, but right below him is Lee Westwood.
Yeah, he's five under.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Lee Westwood has played well this year on the European Tour. He hasn't won, but he's played well. And he's one of those guys who about 5 different times in his career, and I'm not really exaggerating, he seemed to be done. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he went from top 10 in the world to like 300 in the world and came back to be number one briefly. He's never won a major. It's the one thing he hasn't done. He's a very good Ryder Cup player throughout his career. Good guy.
Yeah,
went through
a bad divorce
a couple of years ago, and that really, you know, kind of threw him off. And now I don't know if he's remarried, but I think he's engaged and just playing much better. And he's like 45. And again, as we know, in your 40s, you're not done. J.B. Mm-hmm. Holmes just made a bogey. It's not breaking my heart.
Yeah, he's back to 8.
Man, you have a thing against J.B. Holmes.
I'm looking at the rest of the leaderboard. There are about half a dozen guys who would be great. I mean, Fleetwood would be a great winner. Rose would be a great winner. Finau would be a great winner. Koepka would be a great winner. Just, you know, as Dan Jenkins used to say sometimes about guys, get out of the way.
Yeah,
finish T7. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but you just mentioned, I mean, to come back and win a major after brain surgery.
Well, I know. It'd be a good story.
It's a great story.
I'm talking about guys who I like and find interesting.
I got you.
I don't dislike the guy.
Tiger's playing much better.
It's not
today.
Like when I talk about Ricky Fowler's agent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Well, who's his agent? I want to hear the dirt on him.
We talked about him a couple years ago when Fowler was leading the Open, and I said that I liked Fowler, but I said that his agent was Sam McNaughton's his name, was 3 of the worst people in golf. And I got a text from him that day because one of his buddies, because they have an office, Wasserman has an office in D.C., and one of his buddies was listening. He said, yeah, I hear you gave me quite a shout-out, blah, 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 blah. And I texted him back, and I said, yeah, I did.
Uh-huh.
I did. And if you ever want to know why and why everybody in the media thinks you're the worst person in the game, I'll gladly buy you a beer and explain it to you.
Did you tell us that story? I think you did.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think I did, okay. Yeah.
Who were the other two? Who are the three?
Yeah,
worst?
We need the other two.
Oh, I said he was the three worst people in golf.
He's 1, 2, and
that's how bad a guy he was.
Wow, that's
all right, John.
Bad.
All right, John.
Appreciate it as
Tiger,
always.
By the way, just made another
birdie. Your boy Tiger just got the four over, fighting to make that cut.
Yeah, he's got a long way to go.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you,
see
John.
You guys.
See ya.
John Feinstein, remember, coming up at 8:40, super agent Lee Steinberg is going to join us. Used to have all the top quarterbacks. Now he's just got one, Patrick Mahomes.
That's a pretty good one.
Pretty solid one to have.
Hey,
speaking
Eric,
of quarterbacks, Mike Vick's going to join us at 9:20.
Those meds are working today for Tiger.
Well,
he's not feeling anything.
Yeah.
We'll see. He's got a long way to go. He's flying out of here today.
All right, again, Mike Vick will join us at 9:20. Don't want to miss that on the Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Lee Steinberg, super agent, is going to join us coming up at 8 o'clock. Mike Vick at 9:20. My big question is...
Lee Steinberg's at 8:40.
8:40. Sorry, what did I say?
8. You're going back in time.
Yeah, I went back
somehow.
In time. My big question is, when is Tropical Smoothie arriving?
Usually soon. Around 9.
It has to be soon.
Usually around 9.
Half an hour, 40 minutes or so.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely usually bring those Thai chicken wraps that are really delish.
Are we going to do some entertainment page here?
If you want. I mean, it's up to you.
Let's open it up.
I was telling Cakes during the break, somebody gave me a stock tip.
Oh, I'm tired of stock tips.
I don't know what to do.
Now, the problem, I won't say the name of the company.
Don't say the name of it.
Can I give the price?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, the stock has improved up to like in the $2 range.
Well, it's tripled. Yeah, it was a low stock.
Look, I'm already amassing.
Buy!
Plenty of shares of Entercom, the company that we work for.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, that stock's in like 550 to 575 range.
Don't buy.
I don't know that I need to get in on a stock that's in the $2 range.
Are we doomed?
Do you care?
I don't pay attention to that stuff. We're killing it. Like, best ratings, best podcast numbers, all of these things.
Yeah.
But is the surrounding ships, are there, like, is it?
I don't know. I mean, if you read the company email, I mean, the company's doing great. Our company is doing great. But I think, in general, the outlook for radio has been bleak.
Okay.
But, you know, Entercom is doing well.
We're doing well.
You know, here in the D.C. cluster or whatever, we're all doing well.
I saw the revenue email from Phil Zachary.
Yeah, right.
I'll give you just a headline from like a financial geek website that's linked to my portfolio. Entercom, another underappreciated radio company.
Hmm.
Take that for what it's worth.
So maybe eventually they'll appreciate it.
I hope it gets appreciated.
I just know when we were with HFS.
Yeah, but don't be so heavily invested in it. Just have a little. Are you way into it?
I've got a pretty major sweat.
You do?
Just because we get a discount for buying
I know
it through
you,
our...
Yeah, but if you get a discount on a poop stock,
know,
it's not really a discount. I've tried to explain that to him.
I know, but he's
a lucky SOB. It'll somehow hook him.
I'm accumulating... I'm establishing a bit of a beachhead with Entercom stock.
Yeah. And he's a sucker for discount.
I am sure that it's going to be something that blows up in my
face. I'm of the opinion just because something's discounted doesn't mean you have to buy.
Right. If it's poop, you won't buy it.
I see discounts all the time.
You might want to short it, actually.
All the times.
I'm long Entercom. Long ETM.
The only reason I ask is because when we were at the HFS, we had pretty strong ratings ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We'd get the numbers, and we were doing well, and then, boom, it didn't matter because the rest of the station stunk. And I'm just wondering, it's great. We're killing it in the ratings. Mm-hmm. Podcast numbers number one in Entercom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not even close. And we have all this great support, but if the rest of the company, if the stock is tanking.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
That's why he's doing blue pill ads. He's doing whatever he can.
Take advantage of it.
Cash in.
Bluechew.com. Let's get on brand.
Right.
You said blue pill. It's funny.
Whatever. It's all the same thing.
Bluechew. It's Bluechew.
Right.
Yeah,
Blue is Chew. It like.
They're getting
gum?
A lot of early ADs.
Sounds like it is.
Is it like
value?
A gum?
Sounds like gum.
So it's not really a pill. It's like a gum.
I don't think he has much information.
I need to bone up on the offerings.
You did that.
That was intentional.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's a gum. I think it's like a gummy bear.
I think the information.
Oh, that's silly.
The information he has.
I'm just making stuff.
It's a one sentence email from CK.
Yes,
that's all he has.
I'll give you the back. Hold on. Let me give you the back.
Probably one word response.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Hold
two
on.
Word. I'm in.
Two letters.
Yeah, I think that was it. I think I said, "I'm willing." Flakes. That was the extent of my response.
They're chewables.
Yeah. Perfect.
Chew.
Just give me a couple of those. I'm going to test. I'm going to give them for a test drive.
Are you having some issues there?
No, not at all. No,
it's really
not
into
at all.
It.
I'm super excited about the possibilities of it, though. Because I feel like it could bring you back to your youth. Like, you feel like you're 17
again.
They're
going to have dual endorsers, only one getting paid.
Yeah. Can you chop the endorsement?
Eric's going to talk about it.
Hey, if you want to chop it, I'm fine.
No, but I think you'd be back to your 17, 18-year-old level. Be insane.
I did ask my wife and my daughter, like, are you going to be embarrassed if I'm doing these spots? And my wife is like, are you getting paid for it?
Your wife says no.
She said, are you getting paid for them? And I said, yes. And she said, no,
you
not
guys
embarrassed.
Are simpatico.
Yeah.
I like
all right,
that.
Entertainment page brought to you by our friends at Second Chance Addiction Care and Outpatient Drug and Alcohol Addiction Center. It's already helped several Junkies listeners online at secondchancecare.com.
All right, speaking of boning up, Cakes,
yes.
Apparently Facebook and Google can see what adult content you're watching. Facebook?
Even if you're on Richie Incognito mode?
That's my question.
This is a very valid question.
There's been a joint study from Microsoft and the people at Carnegie Mellon and the University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, what do they know? People at Carnegie Mellon and Penn.
Investigated 22,000 plus sex sites using a handy tool called Web X-Ray, which exposes tracking tools funneling data back to third parties.
Developed by one Matt Myers from Pasadena.
93% of the pages leak user data to a third party.
Leak?
Yes, Cakes.
They're leaking.
And if you think you're being slick, here you go.
Of course it's stupid. This show is built on stupidity.
Here's your answer, Cakes. If you think you're being slick by using the incognito mode, think again.
Oh, no.
The data still gets fed to the third parties. So Google, Facebook, all these companies that I guess pay to find out what you're looking into, even if you're in the incognito mode.
Hey, what are you going to do?
No wonder I had an ad for a massage table.
Yeah. Pretty
you're kidding, right?
What?
You're kidding,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's a joke.
I'm going to have ads for Blue Chew all over the place, saying it all the time.
You're into, didn't you? You always hype up the Nuru massage.
Yeah, Nuru, that was hot.
That was your thing. What's the new hot
Whatever
fire?
Whatever happened to the couch? You were a big
casting couch.
Casting couch
is kind of dead.
Yeah, that's over with.
That's so
10
like
years
2010.
Weren't you guys in a pawn shop too?
The pawn shop was. That's good.
Oh, that's true. They had the girl at the pawn shop.
What are you willing to trade for this?
Yeah, some guy come in and give her cash.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, you just pay her off, like you know. Stranger sex.
Yeah. I've never clicked like on five of those.
Yeah, they're trying to pawn a laptop, then all of a sudden she needs $300 more.
This is kind of funny. What else have you stumbled onto recently? Because you're usually good at like breaking new ground. You're kind of like always on the new frontier.
Cutting edge.
Yeah. I'm into European stuff.
Euros.
Yeah. No, it's all professional.
Oh yeah.
But there's a series out now where this is so creepy. Where there's a van.
Yeah.
And so the windows are double sided glass, so you can see out, but you can't see in.
Nice.
Right.
And so the creepy guy takes the girl into the van.
Right.
And then they're sitting there
doing
their thing while people are walking by in the van.
Right. So they can see them, but the people can't see what's going on inside the van. Is the van a rockin'?
Oh, it's a rockin'.
It's a rockin'.
It's not a van. It's a box truck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you just Google, if you put box truck, you'll see a whole rack of them.
Well, I tell you what, I stumbled into the last year or something was that I didn't even know there was a genre of pizza delivery.
Oh yeah, that was.
Did you know about that, Cakes?
Yeah. No, there's a whole series.
A whole genre of that. Pizza delivery.
Whatever happened to your conjugal visits?
Never really materialized. I don't think that genre really exists.
Yeah. And there's a whole
pizza delivery definitely exists.
There's a hole cut out in the box.
Right. Of course.
Can you imagine if Lee Steinberg was listening to the lead in?
Well, let's hope he's not.
Yeah.
This is what I'm following.
Right. Can't contain the genius.
JP, I know you're a big fan. I know I was back in the day when Diddy had his Making the Band show. He announced on Instagram that Making the Band will return in 2020.
That's the ultimate whoopee-doo.
I wasn't really a huge fan of Making the Band.
It.
I've watched some episodes.
Can you name any of the products?
Hold on. Wait a
from
second.
Making the Band. One was like a boy band.
Something with Danity Kane or
Danity
something?
Danity Kane. That's with Aubrey O'Day. Yes.
That's a win right there.
Aubrey O'Day.
Or maybe a loss.
She's the one that was hooked up with Donald Trump Jr., right?
Correct.
I've seen promos. She's on some MTV like dating show now.
And Pauly D. I think she was linked to Pauly D.
Yeah, she dated Pauly
D
for a long
Pauly
time, too.
D and Donald Trump Jr.
Oh, I'm sure she's dated more than that.
And now she's on. She looked horrendous. I saw that. She looked huge.
She used to be so cute back in the making the band.
She blew up her lips and probably did all kinds of face stuff.
Oh, yeah. She
looked
terrible.
Like a caricature.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She looks terrible. Terrible. And if you look at her when she was on Making the Band, she was like a cute college girl. You know, like a nice, average, cute college girl. And then she just, now she looks like a porn star.
I'm going to guess she never went to college, though.
She might have been at the very
college
start.
Age girl.
Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe she went for a year or something. I mean, who knows? Maybe community college. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying she graduated.
It's so literal.
I know. God. I mean,
she didn't go to college.
The biggest minutia ever.
I wasn't being literal. I was just pointing out that she's a dope.
Well, it doesn't.
Adam went to college. Anyone can go to college.
Exactly. I mean,
it's a very good point.
By the way, Adam brought up the fact.
Gives all dopes a free pass.
He brought up the fact that our Instagram page, which is 106.7 The Fan, is closing in on the 10,000 number, which
and that's
means
a magical number.
Right? So
I got 10,000. Instagram. It doesn't appear to mean anything.
Follow us on Instagram, 106.7 The Fan. They're trying to use it a little bit more. And I said, well, why don't you post something on Instagram? And he said that he's not allowed to. And I said, why? He said, because my English isn't very good.
That's the most correct statement of the century.
As an employee, you've been banned from posting on social media?
There's just there's steps that I have to follow through. I have to send it up the hierarchy.
Yeah, you have to have a proofreader.
But, yeah, they don't trust my writing ability, so they've been letting me post stories. So
basically, he can't post a picture.
Right.
can send it to, like, a chimpanzee. Right. And I think a chimpanzee would be a better spell.
He said, it's because I'm not eloquent or loquacious. And then he looks at me, he's like, they mean the same thing. I was like, they don't mean the same thing. They're in the same ballpark.
Loquacious has nothing to
do
with it.
I know. Loquacious means you talk a lot.
Yeah. I was just trying to sound smart in front of
him. Just, every time he does that.
You know what? That's an ill-fitting shirt you're wearing today, too.
Aren't they all?
Today's like he came around the corner, and that belly was prominent.
I'm rocking Panama jersey.
What's going on for happy hour tonight, Adam Epstein?
Are you going out? Or are you just exhausted from working the two jobs?
No, I got some good sleep last night, so I'm ready to hit it hard this weekend.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, it's Saturday.
Are you going
night.
To your new spot?
I will Friday, but Saturday I'll be at Pamplona pretty much
you
all
mean today.
Day.
You say Friday, you mean tonight?
Yeah.
Today, tonight. All right.
So tonight you're where?
Back to the place was 801 Cafe Rooftop.
Right.
I mean, just filled with college honeys.
Right. Way younger than you now.
Yep.
And by the way, I was way wrong.
Saturday, Pamplona.
Aubrey O'Day graduated from University of Cal, political science degree.
Oh, she went to Berkeley?
She's brilliant.
She's smarter than you.
UC Irvine. Yeah. Okay, it's different.
Still, see? I would have thought.
No college.
No college. Yeah,
see? I told you.
But she looks ridiculously awful.
She looks terrible. Yes.
From what I saw in a promo.
Yeah. Well, how old is she now? Probably not even that old. You just ruined yourself with all that Botox.
I'd say 36.
Yeah, probably something like that.
No one cares about
35.
Her.
Yeah.
Let's get off her.
You're right about that.
All right, coming up next, Super Agent Lee Steinberg is going to join us. Remember, we got Mike Vick at 9:20. Keep it here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, coming up at 9:20, Mike Vick joins us, non-analyst for Fox, but joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, legendary sports agent, CEO of Steinberg Sports, Lee Steinberg. He's teaching a class tomorrow at Georgetown.
Very nice.
They're looking to break into the sports agent business. I believe you go to steinbergsports.com/agentacademyDC. And I'll get you in for his class at Georgetown. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning.
By the way, Lee Steinberg, eight first overall picks in the NFL draft.
That's very impressive. Some of his biggest clients.
62 first-round picks, $3 billion in contracts, and he points out on his Twitter, $750 million to charity.
That's unbelievable.
That's super impressive.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
I didn't know what to say. For people that don't know, Lee was the king of the NFL agent business for years and years and years. And then he had his own public struggles, you know, with alcohol, whatever. And then he's come back, and now he's kind of, this is your second act, and you got Pat Mahomes. And I know Paxton Lynch was one of your guys. You know, it was funny. We were talking about it, Lee, before you came on. Talk about the difference in being an agent today and in your sort of your first go around and just the pressure on these young players. I mean, Paxton Lynch started two games. He had five career games we played, and the Broncos gave up on him, right? I mean, it's a crazy world today for these guys.
Well, especially because of the monumental elevation needed to go from college to pro football.
Right.
So it just takes time. It's hard to read the field. It's hard to have the whole playbook at your disposal. And you just don't expect that someone like Patrick Mahomes would be able to do what he did in his first year. You would think he would do it in the future, but to come right out in his first season of starting was amazing. One of the changes is that you have millennial athletes, and so they grow up on big screen, color, sound, Twitter, Snapchat, fast bursts of energy, multitasking. So attention span is attenuated somewhat, and you better get it out quickly if you want to convey something to a contemporary athlete.
How did you get back into the mix and get back on top of your game after sort of your fall there, Lee? Was Paxton Lynch kind of the key guy? Your first, was he first? Did he end up going in
the first round?
Yeah, your first sort of first round quarterback in your second act. And how did you convince Paxton to go with you?
I think the fact that I've had the 62 first round draft picks and eight of them were the first overall. But especially at the quarterback position, where there were weekends where I had half the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And we have 10 players in the Hall of Fame, so you can sketch out for someone how to get elevated in the draft, how to be mentored as a veteran. More importantly, our philosophy is role modeling. So we ask each athlete to go back to the high school community that helped shape them, set up a scholarship fund, Boys and Girls Club, church, then go back to the collegiate level where you have the Troy Aikmans of the world who've endowed full scholarships at their universities, and then set up a charitable foundation with the leading business figures, political figures, and community leaders to execute a program. So Warwick Dunn's just put the 175th single mother and her family into the first home they'll ever own. So for a certain type of athlete who wants to make a difference, who has a focus on a second career, they're attracted to that.
Mm-hmm. Lee, how do you go about elevating a player's draft stock? I assume part of your pitch is, hey, listen, you're Pat Mahomes, but I can get you to this next level. You might be projected as a second rounder or whatever the heck it is, but I can get you into that first round or whatever. How do you do that? How does Lee Steinberg or how do other agents elevate guys to that next level?
I think the first thing is a real understanding of how scouting works. So in the old days, they used to have the draft in January, and so it was a regular season. Now we have this elaborate season of second season of scouting, which is all-star games, scouting combine, the pro scouting day back on a college campus, and then visits to franchises. So through that, it's understanding how to showcase the athlete's best skills in the best forms. So you mentioned Patrick Mahomes. Well, he was seen as a gunslinger in an air raid system, and people had him in a second or third round. They weren't looking at the fact that he had a skill set that was going to be successful everywhere. So the key in his situation was to show that he could do a three-step drop, five-step drop, seven-step drop, take the ball under center and play in a pro set. And he got to display that pretty well in the combine and then nailed it in a pro scouting day. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also the way the draft works is it's not 32 teams thinking a player's pretty good. It's three or four teams having a passion. So in Mahomes' case, you knew that the type of teams interested in him were going to have an incumbent quarterback and bring him along slowly. And so it's teams like the Chiefs and the San Diego Chargers, at that point the New York Giants, Buffalo Bills, franchises in that category. So you knew those would be probably the most interested teams, and you wanted to make sure that you're at your very best.
And Lee, just like in every team sport, the money's gotten outrageous for these players. I mean, you see it in the NBA, which is just stupid. And you had some huge names. You had Steve Young, you had Aikman, you had, I believe you had Warren Moon, you had Bledsoe. I mean, you had some of the biggest names at the quarterback position. And now you're seeing, you know, guys like Derek Carr signed for just monster contracts, much more than what Steve Young ever made. Just talk about the difference in the money and the salaries over the last, you know, 30 years.
To understand the growth in salaries, you have to first understand the explosion in television. So when I started back in 1975, each team made $2 million as its share of the national television contract. Today, each team per season just from national TV makes $200 million. So it's largely television revenue. And then you have brand new stadia with luxury boxes, premium seating, naming rights, fantasy football. All football has been elevated to America's passion. It's not only the most popular sport by 2-1, it's the most popular television show because it outrates regular TV shows. So it's a function of the revenue. Now, you have a two-tiered structure in the NFL where six or seven stars are making fabulous money, and that means that a large part of the roster is making the minimum. So to be able to pay Russell Wilson $34 million a year, it means that there are going to be a whole series of players playing at the minimum, and it also means that the backups won't be like in the days of, where the Washington Redskins had Jay Schrader and Doug Williams, two starting quarterbacks.
Yep.
Now you go from the premier starter, and if an injury occurs, you're not going from an A to a A-minus player. You're going from an A to a B or B-minus.
Joined by Super Agent Lee Steinberg, who's the CEO of Steinberg Sports. He's actually in town teaching a class tomorrow at Georgetown. If you want to go, steinbergsports.com/agentacademymydc. One of the things we kick around on this show from time to time are when athletes do things outside of their sport, which are risky. We just saw that with Josh Norman running with the Bulls. Of course, the Redskins cornerback jumps over a bull, and I'm wondering, your super client right now would be Patrick Mahomes, and he just did a bit where he threw a football out of the stadium. How do you deal with your clients doing things outside of their sport? Now, that's in his sport, but maybe somebody would say maybe he's going to throw out his arm.
Right.
Well, my preference would be to put all our big stars into bubble wrap from the end of one season till the beginning of the other and have them hermetically sealed somewhere in a safe room. But Patrick's got such an extraordinary arm that that's the way he throws the ball anyway. And he was also playing
hoops, I think, this offseason, which caught some attention, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yep. Yeah, he got about 20 minutes in before he got stopped.
Right.
If football players playing basketball is one of the activities that is most apt to get them hurt. So from a protective standpoint, I understand, but Patrick Mahomes is a wonderful young man, and he's just a sports fan, and so he loves all sports. But you really wish that people wouldn't put their body at risk. But he spent the entire offseason, he shot some endorsements, he's picked up some awards, but his primary focus is, how do I get that team to the Super Bowl? And so people would be surprised. He carries his playbook with him wherever he goes. If he's in another city, he makes sure to get a workout in. And there's a extraordinary level of preparation. You see athletic performance is the tip of the iceberg, but you don't see the fact that unlike the old days where offensive linemen used to show up with big pop bellies and people smoked, now these athletes have a whole team of experts working on their body all year round.
Man, Patrick Mahomes, you know, he set the bar pretty high last year with 50 touchdowns. It's almost like people expect him to duplicate, and I know it's almost impossible to do it. Maybe he does, but he set the bar so high, people are expecting, right, Cakes? They're expecting Pat Mahomes to put up huge numbers again. It's going to be difficult.
Well, and you know that he's going to be better this year, but he may not statistically be better because right. there's so many factors that go into that. But every time he saw the field, he got a better sense for how defenses work. Any interception he threw, he studied over and over again to make sure he doesn't do it again. So the irony is he may be better by football standards and yet still not throw 50 touchdown passes.
Exactly.
But I will tell you one thing, he'll be exciting to watch.
Lee, one of your many high-profile clients from the 90s was Ryan Leaf, number two overall pick. His NFL career flamed out, wasn't what he would expect it would be. He had some well-publicized bouts with drug abuse post-playing days. He seemed to turn his life around. He's recently hired as a college football analyst by ESPN. Did he ever reach out to you during those dark days to kind of help him get through and turn his life around?
Yes, he did, and we're close. And really, it's heartwarming because here you have a player who was adjudged to be one of the big busts in the history of football. There were many people when he came out in the draft who had him rated higher than Peyton Manning. And then he went through a series of problems, and you try to get an athlete help, but in his case, he turned inward and it was difficult. But what's miraculous is he's turned his life around and has been crisscrossing the country, talking to kids and other people about sobriety. And he's very bright. And so I think he'll be a real good analyst. And, you know, I struggled with alcohol for several years, and I'm in my 10th year of continuous sobriety. And so if there are people out there who are struggling and depressed and hopeless, just know there are 12-step programs and people are waiting to help you. So don't give up.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, it's awesome having you on, Lee. You know, congratulations on the 10 years. Obviously, that's huge for you personally and professionally. It's great to see you back and doing your thing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right.
And again, go to SteinbergSports.com/AgentAcademyDC.
I mean, just his clients in the 90s. Here's some of the names. Ryan Leaf, Russell Maryland. Where was he picked? Was he number one?
One
pick?
Or two.
Number one, I think.
Ricky Williams, Ricky Waters.
Well, the biggest quarterbacks in the game.
Mark Brunell, Kajana Carter, number one pick, I believe, overall. Cordell Stewart, Kerry Collins, Junior Seau. I mean, it's just, he represented everybody.
He had everybody.
Like I said, he had Young, Aikman, yeah. Moon, Bledsoe. I mean, I know I'm missing some big names.
If you go to his Twitter, 8 first overall picks, 62 first round picks, $3 billion in contracts.
He was the Scott Boris of the NFL.
Absolutely.
$3 billion in contracts.
His rock bottom, he was an alcoholic for many years, multiple DUIs, he filed for bankruptcy, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. You had to basically start over. Yeah.
By the way, we will have a number one pick in the NFL draft coming up at 9:20. Vick's going to join us. You don't want to miss that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.